Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there in Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. Those that have listened to me for a while heard me on a couple of episodes wax positive about precious metals, about the base metals, copper, but precious metals in particular. You heard Leister, CryptoTalk.fm, tell you, or forewarn you, I guess is appropriate, that I felt that something was about to happen, specifically with gold, platinum, silver. I was talking about silver. I talked about how I had just bought more of this, bought more of this, bought more of this. That was not me being clairvoyant or being able to predict the future. That was simply somewhat obvious of what I saw. And you now have seen that play out. That will dominate, I would argue, half of today's episode, is to talk once again about precious metals, because I think it's important, especially now with what we think is happening. And I'm doing this because I want you to kind of resonate with what's about to happen. Let's talk about that, and then I've got some crypto news on the back end. Obviously, CoinMarketCap.com does have real world assets, as they're referred to, and graphs for that. We're not going to use those. You can if you like. You simply need to follow along with some of the messaging. The graph is less, it's important, but not as much to the message. The message is one to implore. And I don't know if you watch Da Vinci Jeremy's show. Even he is now starting to wax positive about precious metals. He just did an upload talking about silver. And that's the story I want to share. I'm going to put a disclaimer because I think it's important. I have platinum. I have palladium, I have silver, I have gold, I have copper. And I'm talking the physical assets, not like ETFs. I'm talking the physical assets. I'm staring right at the copper brick. It's a brick of copper because there's a theory that at some point in the future, copper is going to start being in significantly high demand for a certain purity. And this one is as pure as it gets. And it's a huge brick. It's heavy. I almost jacked my foot up with it. It's a huge deal because it's cheap. It was only $100 for this massive brick of it. And if it turns out to be something in a future state, I'm already ahead of it. The platinum, the palladium are not large. I just wanted to get some to have it as part of the portfolio. A diverse portfolio is always what I've advocated. Once this rally kind of cools off, as I suspect it will, and I'm estimating probably about Q2 of 2026. Once the rally cools off, I'm going to look into getting more platinum and palladium, as well as more silver. But silver is the standout star. I have like a couple of ounces worth of silver. I didn't go all in on silver, but I have enough that based on the price estimate that we're talking about, it would still be a fair amount of money if I chose to sell it, which I probably would. But with silver, the theory, the going thought of silver is that it is grossly underpriced. Currently at $72, not that long ago, it had crapped down to $40. This rally, people suspect, is just the beginning of a longer run. That's why I estimated about Q2 of 2026 for this one. The percentage of increase for silver was substantial, as it was for platinum. Platinum, just not long ago, was like $1,300, and it's now $2,324. It peaked up $2,500. Significant runs. I want to warn you, A lot of people tend to FOMO buy, as in they wait for the price to go up and then they buy in. I'm going to recommend that you don't do that. But if you do, I would only do that for copper or silver or possibly palladium. I would absolutely not recommend doing that for gold or platinum. I just wouldn't, because I don't ever advocate buying when it's already rallied. I'm saying I'm waiting for things to cool off before I buy more. But I am also saying that if you're tempted to get in, I would stick with, again, copper's fine. Silver's probably okay based on its expected rise. I would personally stay away from gold and platinum right now until things cool down. That's my recommendation to you if you are going to get in it. But use this as an opportunity to understand the cycle of precious metals. They take years before they significantly appreciate. We're talking hold, that they're the definition of hold. Crypto is not the definition of hold. Never has been. Metals, they're the definition of hold. You do not realize the strength of the asset without holding it for a long period of time. Because with silver, this is where I'm going with this. Silver has been manipulated for many, many years. I'm talking many years. I'm not going to dig into the deep roads of the manipulation. Suffice it to say that all of the big banks that are left effectively colluded to suppress the price of certain rare metals, silver being at the top of that list. And they were doing so to discourage people getting into that asset instead of regular fiat. Fiat was always kind of the driver, and they were trying to drive people to fiat and keep them there. Gold's price was not affected by the manipulation because it was already too late. It was already at a point where you were not going to be able to slow it or derail it. Also, consider that with gold, because of it's mined, right? With gold, a lot of the mining facilities, as well as some of the refineries, started to shut down. They started to have problems and they started to shut down. Silver is used, and there's two main ones. Da Vinci Jeremy talked about one of them. One is solar panels. The other is in certain clothing for resistance to bacteria and things. The solar panels, I mentioned on an older episode, some of these metals are going to be used in things that we take for granted. When they hit critical mass, the demand for them will skyrocket because they have to be able to keep up with the consumer demand, whoever the consumer happens to be. With silver being kind of critical to the manufacturing of solar panels, there's an expectation, two part, one, that the demand for silver is going to skyrocket to help meet the demands of increasing manufacturing. Two, with the banks less able to manipulate silver, people have estimated that when you look at the ratio compared to gold, historically, it was closer to this, where you would see, like right now, if we were looking at a fair price for silver, we're looking at somewhere around $700-$800, right? Because it was so heavily manipulated. It doesn't make sense that something that is in such high demand now, used in such technology spread now, would be so dirt cheap. But the fact is, the manipulation was going on for so long, a lot of these banks were punished for it. It didn't stop them from manipulating. So the going theory right now, and the reason I told you that, is that silver is going to skyrocket in price to better. It's basically price discovery. That at this point, it's now just a matter of what are people willing to pay for it. If the message is clear about this manipulation and the price potential for silver, once again, people have estimated that the real price, fair price for silver is $700-$800, nowhere near under $100. With what I'm sitting on, certainly I'm not going to be made a millionaire for silver because I did not YOLO into it, because I suspected, and I still do, that we're not going to get anywhere close to that $700-$800 up front. I theorize we might get over the 100 mark, come back down again, and then have another run sometime in later 2026. If true, it gives me an opportunity to then buy more in silver, knowing that it's not crazy expensive to do so. Like, you can buy ounces of silver on the cheap. They're not crazy expensive now. But just imagine if the numbers are low. Like, think of, let's assume if gold goes to $5,000, which it was trending towards, if it goes to $5,000, it's not unreasonable to think that silver could easily hit $1,000 at that point. If what we're talking about is true, that we might be underestimating that demand surge, that it might hit $1,000. Probably wouldn't sustain, but that it could hit $1,000 in the peak value of it on the fair market when price discovery continues, that these prices could really go that high. Well, $1,000 per ounce. You imagine this, right? If you could, because right now you can buy 10 ounces for less than $1,000. So that's an easy win for anybody that did. I'm saying, though, that in my mind, the price, this surge, I don't see it sustaining, but it might, but I don't see it sustaining continuous. I think we're going to dip again and then go back up. Also, consider Bitcoin right now is struggling. We're going to talk about crypto here and pivot here in a second, but Bitcoin is now struggling. It's in that 90 to 88, 87-ish mark, with people estimating that it's going to go down. The theory is that if Bitcoin does go down, that some of that money might end up going over into precious metals. I'm on the fence about that. I'm not really fully sure that there's going to be significant more of that kind of arbitrage happening. If there is a dip on Bitcoin, I would suspect it's going to head towards the alts versus precious. The precious feels like it's more stability. Like, people are looking for stable assets and they understand that these are probably the most stable assets you can get. And then some of the chatter about silver is kind of helping it, but it's not like, I mean, silver is significant up. Don't get me wrong. It's almost 2X from where it used to be, but it's still grossly underpriced from where we expect it to be. Platinum surprised me. It just jumped out of nowhere. That one surprised me. That one had a significant jump. I can't understate how surprised I was. And if you think about use of rare metals, I would not expect, if platinum is going to be $2,500 and palladium is going to be $2,000, to me, that puts the number for silver higher than those. Simply because silver is actually, certainly platinum is in use in things. I'm saying that silver feels like it would have to be more implemented for more wide use cases to create wider demand. So this uncertainty of its max, what's the real ceiling for silver, is what's got people fascinated about it and why more people are talking about it that were not doing so before. All I'd like you to do is to remember that Leister, CryptoTalk.fm, had been hammering you to consider precious metals on at least 3 different episodes. And you understand that I was well ahead of it, and I did try to fair warn and hopefully spread the word and tell people. This guy was telling us about precious metals long before all these YouTubers started jumping on the bandwagon, because that's just the truth. Now, let's talk about cryptocurrency, Bitcoin in particular, again, about the $87,000 mark, Ethereum just shy of $3,000. Everything's kind of in a middling state. However, Bitcoin looked like it was about to trend down. And I previously estimated about $82,000 was my best guesstimate about where things were going to go. I haven't really changed that target, except that it's possible that we get a flip and it starts heading upward, if we do, I don't think it's going to go very far before it comes back down. So in other words, it's possible that we get another upward before we get the down, because I don't see that the same velocity of down is still in play. All of this is speculation as I look at everything that's going on, and I'm not 100% sure either way. There's something else that causes me to think that something weird is going on with Bitcoin. And it's something that I talked about on a past episode. It was the idea that Bitcoin was getting a little bit too centralized for its own good. It felt like that there were too many big players holding too many big bags, and the influence on its price was starting to be a little bit too predictable. Some people have put up charts that said, well, retail still holds the vast majority of Bitcoin, but they don't hold enough in terms of the value of it to affect its price the way that the institutionals do. To me, the value that the institutionals hold created a strong risk that they could disrupt Bitcoin as a market. And so what I was seeing from my lens was that the institutionals were essentially taking over what the price was going to be. Ironically, some of these media articles, now I talked about that, geez, that was like the beginning of the year, if I recall. Some of these articles are starting to finally wake up and share what I said to be the truth, and they're echoing my same sentiment. A list of large players was put out and talked about how basically the institutional financials were essentially controlling, owning, and managing the shifts in price because of where Bitcoin's being traded and where it's being offered through ETFs and ETPs. And do I think, in my opinion, that there's a connection back to the desire to stabilize fiat? Yes. Meaning that when I talked about strategy and I said he's going to have to sell eventually. Recently, apparently, I heard this on a YouTube site. Apparently, he announced a freeze on purchases. Then there was another announcement talking about green dots and all that that's supposed to be subliminal. And there's no longer the same level of strength of purchase and straight YOLO, right? So usually when that happens, it reminds me of 2008 and the housing bubble. We might be on the precipice of a crash. When I say a crash, I don't suggest to the 20s, thousands like Da Vinci Jeremy did. I do think down, let's say the 70s, if this read is correct, that there's this, you know, institutional bubble that's creating where they're starting to be a little bit fickle in their approach, and they're no longer YOLOing into the stuff like they did before. And it didn't surprise me that's happening, but the timing of it compared to the precious metal rise was very fascinating to me. So I share that only so you're aware Bitcoin is currently experiencing a little bit of a turmoil. The other thing that bothered some people, there's this idea of a psychological level. When you deal with any sort of pricing, there's a psychological impact on you based on a price. Remember when prices all of a sudden, everything became $9.99.95, right? They don't just put 10 bucks. Everything's $9.99, right? $8.99 and all that. It's psychological. The difference between $9.99.95 and $10 is infinitesimal. But visually, it's a psychological trick that you're actually spending less money, which encourages you to buy. The same applied with Bitcoin. The psychological levels, right? 60,000, 70,000, 75,000, 80,000, 90,000. These are psychological levels. They are levels that are, your brain has been convinced that these are major milestones and that appreciation, as in going up, is kind of a constant once you hit certain levels or greater. People ran numbers. And it turns out the 100,000 level, which was the main celebratory, look it up, level, turned out to be fake news. When I say fake news, I don't suggest that the price did not actually trade at 100,000, because it did. We can prove that it did trade at $100,000. However, what people didn't understand is that they were not measuring that value, the fiat equivalent value, against inflation. Because if you had measured it against inflation, it actually turned out that for that level, the 100,000 level, it never actually reached it. It stopped just shy of it because the price of the dollar had declined ever so slightly. And it's all fiat-based equivalency. So when you have fiat-based equivalency and the value of the fiat is decreasing, you have to take that into consideration at what the trade price is at a point in time compared to what the inflation value of the fiat it traded with was at that time, which turned out that it did not actually hit 100,000. Now, it didn't mean anything, but it means now you have to really consider Bitcoin being aligned with fiat impacts its basic value. When we talk about digital gold, we call Bitcoin digital gold. When we connect, I talked about this with Mr. Segala on a very older episode. When we connected Bitcoin to the dollar, we removed its intrinsic value to people. Its value right now exists in two levels. One, perceptive, the perception that it's worth X. Two, institutional, them jumping in and buying it, which influences perception. That's where Bitcoin's value comes from. It doesn't come from utility. It cannot. It is not digital gold. Although it is mined, it cannot be digital gold because its value is only to the minority of the population. There's not a single person in this world who would say that gold has no value, real gold. Nobody would say gold has no value. If you were to poll 100 people and ask them whether Bitcoin had value, you're going to find the vast majority don't believe Bitcoin has value, and they would be correct. The value is perceptive. There are people that, to them, it has value, which is more about long-term, like Da Vinci. To everybody else, it's just funny money. In the big picture, that's really what they perceive it as. Perception is Bitcoin. That's not to discourage you from getting Bitcoin. It's simply to understand and help you understand that Bitcoin outside of the bubble is not anywhere close to real world assets, nor can it be, because real world assets have persistent value that we all can see and believe in the big. Speaking of gold, gold notes are back in stock. Gold notes, if you don't know what gold notes are, Gold Note, it's an organization, I think they're out of Canada, and they put out, it's a gold note, it's a note, and it has a gram of gold in it, and they're independently authentic. So you could verify them as authentic, each and every one of them. They're all unique and authentic. And they're collectibles, but they're also a gram of gold. These are the easiest way to collect for long term. They have physical value. They have appearance value. They have the gold intrinsic value. There's not a single person that would look at it and say it does not have value. So yes, I stacked a little bit more. I didn't go YOLO. I just stacked a little bit more because I knew precious metals overall were going to appreciate, especially when you think of some of the catalysts for what I believe is happening with precious, which is the anticipated rate cuts, I think plays. The tanker, the oil tanker, if you didn't read about that, check the news about oil tanker and Donald Trump. I think that plays in a little bit. The wars going on, I think that plays in a little bit. The tariffs, I think that plays in a little bit. This stupid check that they want to do $2,000 tariff check. I think that's stupid, but that's playing in. The potential that the Republicans lose the midterms, that's playing in. Everything is playing in, and the potential for another shutdown here soon. All that's playing in, I think, to sentiment shifting towards stability. Stability can only be born from assets that have provable value, which real precious metals do, not cryptocurrency. I think that's what's happening. The last update I'll share, which is really more for FYI purposes, because it probably does not affect you, but I think it's good to be aware. Solana. There used to be I think the company still exists. It's a weird thing, but Solana, there was a Solana Mobile. They released a phone called the Saga smartphone. The Saga smartphone, if I recall, this was the one that said you get a Solana wallet and you get a little bit of Solana or something. It was something about, I remember the gimmick from ages ago. I don't remember exactly what it was, but point is this phone, recently the Solana Mobile put out an announcement saying that there's not going to be any more software updates or security patches. And they're, I'll say, winding down their customer service. Now, the reason this is kind of a concern, there was a wallet on this phone and you would have your crypto on there. And if you don't get security updates, there's a risk that your wallet could be breached if you touch a sketchy site or you navigate to a sketchy site or something else, because you're not protected by this. So I share it as an FYI that if you were in this Solana Mobile and you had a Saga smartphone, I'm warning, and you may have got an email about it, but I'm warning that you are going to be put at risk if you remain on the device. And I would advocate that you consider a different wallet. If you're struggling with that, we're happy to help best we can. CryptoTalk.fm, hit the contact form, just let us know. And we're happy to recommend some. I mean, off the top of my head, Trust Wallet's the one that I would probably recommend first and foremost, just because of the diversity of the assets. I think it's called Base Wallet now, what used to be Coinbase Wallet. Probably okay. I would stay away from MetaMask because they said they violate your privacy, but Trust Wallet's the one that I would recommend first. There are tons of other wallets out there. It really depends on what you're trying to do. Soulflare is a decently good Solana-only wallet if you only want Solana-type things. There's a countless. So if you're struggling with it, again, we're happy to help if we can. You'll need to fill out our form to send us a letter. CryptoTalk.fm, hit the contact form, and we'll do the best we can to help you out. In closing and in summary, the big picture right now is stability, is uncertainty. There's a lot going on and people are trying to find a safe haven, however temporary that might be. The best thing I can suggest for you is the same thing I've always suggested. Diversity of assets in your portfolio is critical. It's vital. Precious metals should not be ignored or disregarded. I would recommend you have some. Now, obviously, safety in your household, right, is important. So if you do decide to do that, the actual bullion or coins, make sure that you also invest in a way to keep it safe, whether that's be a safe deposit box at a bank or a safe in your house or whatever you choose to do, make sure that you have a way to secure your assets, keep them safe. And don't brag to people about what you have. You can tell people, you know, that you're invested in things or whatnot, but don't brag about what you do and don't have and where it is. And, you know, like that chick, what is it, Amaranth or whichever the chick was that was bragging about her stuff and got ran up on. Don't be that. Okay. Be safe and smart about it if you are going to do it. Meanwhile, for the remainder of the year, at this point, just a week away, for the remainder of this year, I'll say, hopefully you have a happy holidays. Whatever that holiday that it is that you do celebrate, because not everybody celebrates Christmas. So whatever holiday that you celebrate, we'll wish you a happy one at that. We'll see you on the other side, because I believe our next episode does not occur until next year, if I recall that being the case. I'm pretty sure it is. Eh, we might have one more episode. It depends. We'll play it by ear because there's a lot going on with the client. We are scheduled, but it may not happen before the first. I'm not really sure. So if I do not speak to you till next year, again, happy whatever holidays, happy holidays. And I will talk to you when I talk to you. Enjoy what is going on for what you can enjoy. I know it's a stressful time. This too shall pass. And I do think 2026 is going to be rather fascinating, especially with the midterms coming up soon.